Father, that is true what we just sang. These are ancient words that we're looking at this morning, but they are life-giving and true. Father, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit among us, empower us, shine your glorious light into the dark recesses of our hearts, wake us up, set us free, show us more of your glory as we come to submit ourselves to you. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. We'll let the games begin. Are y'all ready? The Olympics, all eyes on Rio these days. I don't know if you're as excited about that I am, but I'm pretty fired up because I love the Summer Olympic Games. I love watching the greatest athletes in the world come together to face off against one another. But not only do I love to watch them, I love to hear and read the stories behind the scenes. How'd they get there? What's going on? The agony of defeat and the victory of the win, right? That's what it's all about. But what we realize as we watch them and as we even hear their stories, we realize that their stories are no different than our stories in our own lives. And I want to share a brief one with you. You probably know much of this already, but you know, Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympic athlete in world history, 22 medals. Staggering, isn't it? And he'll have more, I'm sure, by the end of the next 2 weeks. But in a recent interview, he shared about his time preparing for and even during the London Olympics 4 years ago. In the interview, he talked about how he had a coach, as they all do, but he said he basically wrote his coach off. He said he didn't do anything that his coach said. He rarely showed up to practice. He set his own schedule. He said, "I don't need anybody." He goes, "I have my own talent. Why do I need somebody else to try to push me and tell me what to do?" And it's pretty staggering. I mean, here he is, this man of incredible talent, living this independent life, right? He goes, "I don't need my teammates. I don't need my coach." And his coach said that he didn't even know if he was going to show up for the various events during the London Olympics. That's how independent Michael Phelps had become. Well, you saw the outcome, right? He won more medals than anybody else. I mean, the guy has amazing talent. And you could think that that's it, right? If you've got the talent, it's all about you. Just live your life how you want. You don't need anybody else. But he realized that wasn't the reality. Once he got back, within the next few years, his life literally hit rock bottom, where he had to go into an alcohol treatment center, deep into depression, contemplating suicide. And you see this man who had it all, incredible talent, doing it all on his own and succeeding very well. But it still didn't give him what his heart was longing for. In a sense, it's a picture. As I read about his story and heard him even speak about it, I couldn't help but recognize how much of his story is my story. And I would gather some of yours this morning. I can do life just fine on my own, thank you. I've got the talent, I've got the gifts, I can do it, right? And that's so often how we live our lives. Well, it's going to be neat to see, I think, in the next 2 weeks what Michael Phelps is going to be all about, because he's a new man. After hitting rock bottom, he's realized his need for others. He's been humbled, and he comes with a very different perspective. But what about for you and me? This morning, I want us to unpack for the next few minutes as we look at Psalm 33. I want us to unpack the delusion of independence. Psalm 33, and you heard much of it read a few minutes ago as we recited it, it's a psalm of praise. It's a psalm of praise and adoration. It's a psalm of praise where you can almost see the psalmist who wrote it coming before the Lord as he begins the psalm in this way. "Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise benefits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to the Lord a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts." A psalm of praise. You can also picture him maybe with hands lifted high, like you saw in the bulletin this morning. A man praising God. What is it that causes one to lift hands high in praise to God? What is it that enables one to come with shouts of joy, with loud shouts of joy and praise? It comes from a person who recognizes their dependence not on themselves, but on the Lord. That's where praise comes from. That's where adoration comes. That's where worship comes. When we realize that we are whole, that we are satisfied, that we are full and content. Not when we're independent, but when we're dependent upon the one who's come to give us life. And that's what we find here in Psalm 33. This praise of a deep abiding, moment by moment dependence on the Lord. Would you say that characterizes your life? A deep abiding, moment by moment dependence on the Lord. It's in the gospel reading this morning as Jesus spoke about abiding. Abiding is living in another, recognizing that we do not have what it takes on our own, though we often try to fool ourselves, thinking that we do. What you and I need to see this morning is we so often live in the delusion of independence. Do you feel the tension there? The call to abide in Christ, to live a life surrendered fully every moment of every day to the Lord. But yet, I know as well as you do, that's not the natural inclination of your heart, nor is it mine. We follow our original parents, Adam and Eve. In the garden, when Adam and Eve chose to go their own way, chose to say, thank you, God, but I think maybe there's something else that's better. And what they were choosing was the road of independence. And they thought it was going to be life-giving. They thought it was going to be, there was going to be even more freedom than when they experienced with God in the garden. But when they grabbed hold of their fruit, their eyes were open to the grand delusion of independence. And instead of getting life, they got bondage. They were held captive and separated from God. And because that was their choice, you know the reality, friends, that's our choice too. That's how we come into this world. We long to live independent lives. And that's really the great battle that you and I face when we wake up every morning and put our feet on the floor. God, am I going to live submitted to you in all things today? Am I going to even acknowledge you? Or am I going to say, no, I've got it. I've got this one. And we don't give God a passing glance unless something happens the day and we really need him. Right? Isn't that how we often live our lives? I mean, let me ask you these questions. I mean, do you begin your day recognizing and placing yourself in a posture of dependence on the Lord for everything that's ahead? Do you begin the day recognizing that all your gifts, all your intellect, all your skills, all your abilities are really a gift from the Lord that he has given you to steward in that day? And our response is to recognize the one who's given us those gifts. Do you enter into a day thankful, looking forward to what God is going to do? Or do you enter into a day stressed out, worried how you're going to figure it out, or thinking, I've got this. It's a no-brainer. You see, I think as followers of Jesus, we long to say we're dependent on the Lord, but functionally we live independent lives. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we would all shake our heads and go, yep, I functionally live an independent life. This is for all of us in this room this morning, friends. Or as one friend of mine said last week, I don't need anyone. I can take care of myself. I don't need to rely on God because I can do it myself. I love their honesty. I wish I would have the honesty to tell you that. That's how I often live. And I would gather that's how many of you often live. I can do it myself. Where in your life do you lean towards independence? What are those places that you rely on yourself instead of the Lord? I love what the psalmist writes in verses 16 and 17, because he shows us the reality, though, that though we think that we can depend on ourselves, though we think that we've got it all on our own, he said it's a lie. It's a false reality. Here's what he writes. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. What's he saying? He's saying that anything that you and I depend on, anything, any person that you and I depend on for anything that we need other than the Lord Jesus Christ, it becomes a false hope. It's a false hope. We may find success through our abilities for a season. We may find financial success in tremendous ways because of our skill and the art of making a deal. But at the end of the day, if that's where our hope is, if that's what we're leaning toward, friends, we're going to come up empty because it will never satisfy and it will never be enough. You see, he writes this, a warrior is not delivered by his great strength. You're not saved by your strength. I'm not saved by my strength. We can't make sense of the brokenness of our lives based on our own strength. We cannot make sense of the challenges before us. We cannot make sense of the illnesses that many of us face. We cannot make sense of the addictions that come upon many of us on our own. We've got to recognize that we come absolutely dependent on another. But yet we know the reality, right? So often we buy into the delusion of independence. I can do it. I can muster up the strength on my own. You see, there's also another danger that we can fall into when we live these functionally independent lives. We begin to believe that we have the choice to do whatever we want with our lives and to make of them whatever we want. I'll choose what I want to do. We even take it further. I'll choose what I want to believe. I'll choose what I want to take out of here is truth, right? And I'll choose what is not relevant for me today. In the delusion of independence, the choice becomes all about us, doesn't it? And we begin to even chart our own moral course. What fits right for me is what I'm going to do. And we don't look to a prescribed course of action. We choose it on our own. So what works for me is good. If you choose something else, good, do it. And so life becomes all about what I can do to make my life easier, happier, and it go well for me. We don't want anyone to limit our choice. And we find that really the delusion of independence is all about me. It all comes down to what's going to be best for me. But here's the question I'd pose us. How can broken, sinful people choose what's right? I mean, really, if I'm left to myself, I'm really not going to consider you. I might, but not really. I'm going to do whatever's best for me, and then it becomes every man for himself. You see, instead of it leading to greater freedom, our independence, what it really does, it leads to greater brokenness, greater individuality. It's a picture of what we find in the Old Testament book of Judges. The theme of that book is everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And if you read the book of Judges, and you'll see that theme mentioned throughout, everybody did what was right in his own eyes. It's all about me, right? My independence. What you find is that culture fell apart. The culture crumbled because life doesn't work when we make it all about me. Life does not work when we live out of our independence. And we see that happening all around us today. And that's why this is so relevant for us to look at. It's the delusion that we think greater freedom is going to come from our independence. Well, it doesn't. Just look at the lives around us. Look at your own life. True life only comes together when we recognize that we're dependent on someone else. And I would say God's Word tells us that true life is only found in dependence on our Creator. Here's what the psalmist writes in verses 13 to 15. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where He sits enthroned, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. It's a picture of God looking down upon all of us from the heavens. And it says that He's the one who has fashioned our hearts. He's created us. You see, whether you believe in the reality of the existence of God or not, we cannot deny the reality that somehow we got here. Somehow we were created, right? And if we were created, somebody else created us. And if somebody else created us, that means that we're dependent on them. We're dependent. I mean, think about it. It's clear from the moment we're born into this world, and you'll see this in a minute with our baptisms. This Alex is going to come forward to be baptized. And when we're born, we're completely dependent on our parents, aren't we? A baby is completely dependent on a mom and dad or caregivers for food, to be changed, to be moved. There's an utter dependence there. And it doesn't end when we get bigger. But it points to the reality, friends, of this. To be human means to be dependent. And it flies into the face of everything else that we hear. But I want you to hear this coming from God's Word this morning. To be human means to be dependent on the one who created us. You see, part of the delusion of independence tells us that we're not dependent on anything. But the reality is, we're always dependent on something or somebody else, aren't we? I mean, we live in a broken world. Our lives are broken and fractured. We need something. We need somebody else, don't we? Because we can't make it on our own. What you and I need desperately is to be rescued from the delusion of dependence and to see that there is a greater way. As much as we want to hide our need, friends, we've got to see the reality is that we're dependent ultimately on the one who created us. And that, I want you to hear this morning, is good news. It's good news to be dependent on another. In fact, it's the whole narrative of Scripture. From beginning to end, we see a God who's come among us, who's not just created us, but made a way for us to come under His dependence yet again. It's a narrative of a God who comes among us in our brokenness. It's a God who comes among us saying, I know your need. I know what you're longing for. I know what your heart's cry is, and I came to restore you and to make you whole. It's the narrative of a God who sustains us. And I want you to hear this. It's a narrative of a God who sustains us by His steadfast love and grace, moment by moment. We're not just out there on our own, friends. That's a pretty frightening thing, to be out there all alone. But to know that we are governed and guided by a God who's sovereign, who loves us. And He tells us in this psalm with His steadfast love. If you were here a few weeks ago, we talked about God's steadfast love. It's this love that's active. It's ever-present. It's unending. It's unconditional. It's this love that He's placed on His children to say, I am with you in everything, and I am for you. That's who we place our hope in. I want to read the latter part of this psalm as we wrap this up this morning, because you'll get a picture of who this God is, who comes to say, come to me, and I will not only give you life, but I will be your shield, I will be your help, I will be your shelter, I will be everything you need. Come, yielded, dependent to me, on me. Here's what we read. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love. That picture, that metaphor of the eye of the Lord being upon us is this. It's an expression of God's loving care for us, so that we live and we walk under the loving care of our God. And He goes on and He writes, that He may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Where do you need to see Him this morning as your help? Where do you need to see God as your shield, as your defender? Friends, that's who He is. This is the active presence of God's grace. He is our help. He is our shield. He is ever present with us. And He goes on, He writes, for our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in You. That's the beauty, friends, of who this God is that we come to place our hope, to place our dependence. He's always looking out for what's best for you and me. And because of his loving care, I want you to know what he's done. He's come among us to meet our every need. Verse 19 is a powerful statement that he writes. He writes this, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep you alive in famine. Do you know what he's saying there? He's foreshadowing. He's speaking about the God who literally does save our lives from death. Because he knows our ultimate need. He knows that in our independence, we cannot save ourselves. In our independence, we have no hope unless somebody comes in and does something for us, right? Because our sin separates us from God. We can't even approach him. But this God who is our refuge, who comes with steadfast love, friends, I want you to hear this. He came down in the person of Jesus Christ to give his life so that you and I could have life. He came to rescue us. What better person to come and yield our lives to? Not one who comes and condemns us, but for one who comes and bears our condemnation on himself. That we would be the recipients of his love and his grace and his mercy. Friends, that's the glory of who this God is. That's why Paul writes in Romans 8 these incredible words. Listen, if God is for us, who can be against us? Right? Truly, if God is for us to give us his son, who can be against us? No scheme of the enemy can take us down. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? For he writes, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him graciously give us all things? All things. Where do you need to see him meet you in that place? Well, he will graciously give you what your heart's longing for right now. Friends, as we come, placing our dependence on the Lord, what we find, instead of weighing us down, oppressing us, we find the ultimate freedom, and our hearts are free to praise and worship him. That's what this worship service is all about from beginning to end. It's about us as his children coming to submit our lives to him to give him the glory because of everything he's given to us. In a minute, we're going to come and feast at this glorious table. And we recognize as we come and take the bread and take the wine, we're not coming because of what we deserve something. We come as people hungry, needing to be fed, needing to be spiritually strengthened. And we find a God who meets us, who satisfies our hunger and our thirst better than anything that this world could offer. So praise God that he's made a way. And so as you leave here in a little bit this morning, I want you to begin to think, where have you bought into the delusion of independence? And where do you need to see God in his sustaining grace meet you and bring life into your life? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.